Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. We just finished singing one of my favorite hymns. It's perfect for a confirmation. And it's perfect because it leads us into our sermon this morning, which I'm going to give, even though I tried to get Timmy's sister Lillian to do the sermon, but she didn't want to do it. So you get me again. I want to begin by telling you about a college faculty that had gathered for their weekly faculty meeting. A professor of archaeology brought with him a lamp, which was recently unearthed in the Middle East. It was reported to contain a genie, who, when the lamp was rubbed, would appear and grant just one wish. A professor of philosophy was particularly intrigued by this. He grabbed the lamp and rubbed it vigorously. Suddenly, a genie appeared and made him an offer. He could choose one of three rewards: wealth, wisdom, or beauty. Without hesitating, the philosophy professor selected wisdom. "Done," said the genie, and disappeared in a cloud of smoke. All the other faculty members turned toward the professor, who sat surrounded now by a halo of light. Eventually, one of his colleagues whispered, "Say something. What wise insight now do you have?" The professor, much wiser now, sighed and said, "I should have taken the money." Our scripture lesson for today contains one of the best known sayings of Jesus. It's a perfect saying for confirmation. It is exceedingly well known, but often, sadly, misunderstood. This saying is the second half of John 10, or better known as 10b. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the favorite verse of scripture for many modern Christians, for they read it as an endorsement of their extravagant lifestyle. They equate the abundant life to living in the lap of luxury. They listen enthusiastically to the pitch of the TV evangelist living in his multi-million-dollar home, giving his sermon after landing on his private jet, who declares God wants his people to have nice things. Certainly, the TV evangelist lives up to this creed. Many of them have opulent lifestyles which they live. Now, I'm not going to be hypocritical. I, too, like nice things. My guess is that you like nice things. I'm guessing Tim likes nice things. All God's children like nice things. Does that mean, therefore, that we can't use this verse, or that we can use this verse from John's gospel to baptize rampant materialism? No, it does not. So, Tim, you don't get to go home today. Point out to your parents that now that you're confirmed, you're expecting a brand new car in the driveway. In our culture, we are apt to confuse the abundant life that Jesus taught. That is what we often refer to in our culture as the good life. The good life consists of things, the accumulation of toys. The tombstone of a wife read, "She died of things." The tombstone of her husband read, "He died providing things for her." I don't really know what happened there, but I'm glad I don't know. Did you know that there are more malls than high schools in America at the beginning of this century? In a recent year, more people filed for bankruptcy than enrolled in college. Our credo today is shop until you drop. Americans on average spend 6 hours shopping each week and 40 minutes playing with their children. As one commentator has put it, we have defined ourselves by what we have and what we use, not by who we are and the kind of people we might become. That is an important message for our confirmant. Who is it we might become? Comedian and social commentator George Carlin, who's now passed, indicted us with these words: "That's all your house is, a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. And when you leave your house, you've got to lock it up. You wouldn't want somebody to come by and take your stuff. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff. And while you go out, You've gone out to get more stuff. Sometimes you've got to move to get a bigger house. Why? Because you got no room for your stuff anymore. My friends, don't confuse the good life with the abundant life. The abundant life is what Christ promised. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Some of us have lots of stuff. But it can't ultimately satisfy our deepest needs. Only the abundant life can do that. So often this phrase is taken out of context to justify a materialistic lifestyle. Our lesson for the day tells us how to have the abundant life. In fact, all of our lessons this morning are of that message. They all compare us to sheep. In our affirmation, Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. And again in John's gospel, we are sheep, herded into a pen for the night. Being compared to sheep isn't really very complimentary. In fact, I can remember a Christmas program when Tim decided he no longer wanted to be a sheep. Instead, he wanted to step up and be a shepherd. But comparing us to sheep is probably a good description of the human condition. The point is, of course, that we have a shepherd, one who looks after us and protects us. And there are some powerful insights in these lessons about abundant living. So let's begin here. The person who has abundant life recognizes Jesus' voice. The key to abundant life is not the accumulation of many things. The key to abundant life, rather, is to recognize the voice of Jesus in your life. It is to know that you are walking in the light of his revelation. It is to live as Christ would have you live. Let me give you an example of a man who has some understanding of the difference between the good life and the abundant life. One of the most admired men who ever made a living as a professional basketball player was former San Antonio Spur David Robinson. Robinson was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 1990, Defensive Player of the Year in 1992, Most Valuable Player of the Year in 1995, and in 2009, Robinson was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. He is considered as one of the greats. As a professional athlete, David Robinson surely enjoys the good life. But did you know that David Robinson also enjoys an abundant life? In 1991, Robinson visited the Gates Elementary School in San Antonio, Texas, and challenged the kids who went to that school to go to college, promising each one a $2,000 scholarship. Many of those students took him up on his offer, and Robinson ended up giving each one of them $8,000 instead of $2,000. He and his wife then started Carver Academy in San Antonio. They've donated, in total, more than $9 million to the school. Carver Academy is dedicated to the academic excellence, but because Robinson is a Christian, he wants the kids to understand that spiritual values are as important as academics and certainly as important as athletics. We hear so much about athletes who are thugs or use drugs or who have a decadent lifestyle. We need to know that there are athletes who listen to the voice of Jesus, who live their lives in accordance with his teachings. That's where we begin, by listening to his voice. Now I want Tim to know that I know he likes baseball. And I don't know whether or not Tim knows this or not, but there is an award given each year called the Hank Aaron Award to the major leaguer who is living his life in service to others. Now, I know a lot about this because recently, Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals got it. And not so long before that, Yadier Molina of the Cardinals got it. Yeah, I know, there's a theme there. I know Tim knows it too. Anyway, the person who has abundant life seeks to follow in Christ's steps. So what does that mean, to follow in Christ's steps? We show love for Christ by how we treat each other. Not only by how we treat those closest to us, but how we treat all people, those we like and those we dislike, those of whom we approve and those of whom we do not, the neighbor and the complete stranger. One day, a man stopped in a convenience store to get a newspaper. He noticed that the owner of the store had tears in his eyes and kept looking out the window. So the customer asked the man what was going on. The store owner said, "Do you see that bus bench over there? There's a woman who comes there every day around this time. She sits there for about an hour, knitting and waiting. Buses come and go, but she never gets on one, and no one ever gets off to meet her. The other day, I carried a cup of coffee and sat with her for a while. I learned that her only son lives a long way away. She last saw him 2 years ago when he boarded one of the buses right there at that spot. He's married now, she said, and she has never met the daughter-in-law or seen the new child, her grandchild. She told me it helps to come here and wait. I pray for them as I knit little things, she said, and I pray for the baby. And I imagine them in their apartment, saving money to come home and see me. I can't wait till that day comes. The reason the owner was looking out the window at that particular moment, at that particular day, was that the three of them, the son, the wife, and the small child, were just getting off the bus. The look on the woman's face when this small family fell into each other's arms was one of pure joy. And this joy only increased when she looked in the face of her grandchild for the very first time. The store owner commented, "I'll never forget that look as long as I live." The next day, the same customer came back to the store, and the owner was again behind the counter. Before the store owner could say anything or do anything, the customer said, "You sent her son the money for that bus ticket, didn't you?" The store owner looked back with eyes full of love and with a smile and replied, "Yes, I sent the money." Then he repeated the statement from the day before, "I'll never forget that look as long as I live." This man had discovered a measure of the abundant life. You understand, my friends, that following in the footsteps of Jesus means following a life for others? It is a paradox. The more selfishly we live our lives, the less satisfaction we feel about our lives. The more we are open to others, the better we feel about ourselves. The person who lives abundantly and lives life abundantly hears Christ's voice and walks in Christ's footsteps, performing acts of love as Christ performed acts of love. But there's one more thing we need to say about abundant life. The person who has abundant life gratefully accepts what Christ has done for him. Abundant living is more than simply being a do-gooder. Abundant living is life lived out of gratitude for what Christ has done for you. Abundant living is not something we are able to do on our own. Abundant living is a gift of grace. So we need to understand that there is more than just the good life. There is the abundant life. We hear Christ's voice, we walk in Christ's steps, and we recognize that there, for the grace of God, go on. Amen.